The Old Testament reading is taken from Hosea, chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Hear the word of the Lord, O people of Israel. For the Lord has an indictment against the inhabitants of the land. There is no faithfulness or loyalty, and no knowledge of God in the land. Swearing, lying, and murder, and stealing and adultery break out. Bloodshed follows bloodshed. Therefore the land mourns, and all who live in it languish, together with the wild animals and the birds of the air. Even the fish of the sea are perishing. And the New Testament reading is Luke 5, verses 1 to 11. Once while Jesus was standing before the lake, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish, their nets were beginning to break. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and they filled both boats, so they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boat ashore, they left, and everyone followed him.
Join in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of Scripture and the hearing of your word, and we give you this time and ask that what is spoken will ring with truth, what is heard and understood will be touched by your Spirit, and what is decided will lead us on towards your kingdom, for Christ's sake. We have worked all night long and caught nothing. You know how that feels? The frustration of fruitless work. A failed exam, perhaps. A struggling business. An economy in recession. Like all those employees of House of Fraser must feel at the moment, Pound World and many of the others. I remember way back in industry struggling through long weeks with little work, trying to complete hard-won contracts to impossible deadlines, redundancies, cutthroat competition, little reward. We have worked all night and caught nothing. I don't think we ever worked all night, but we did work frequently late into the evening, very often at weekends. All to little avail. Others here will know how that feels. The Rust Belt towns in the United States, whole towns built up around one steel mill plant or a mine or a rolling mill or some such, all closed down now. Boarded up shops, potholed roads, vast factories literally rusting. Groups of depressed, redundant, idle men and women. No wonder Make America Great Again has such a powerful appeal. We have worked all night and caught nothing. By all accounts, it was not unusual for fishermen in Galilee to do that. They didn't have the means of sonar locators to find the fish. Fishing is a declining industry as well. Lowestoft, Peterhead, Hull, lots of other ports up and down the coasts of this country, they used to throng with boats groaning under the weight of the catch, the tang of salt air mixing with the sharp stench of fish, pallets full of them overflowing as they racked them and stacked them and packed them and sold them. Now just a few boats. A tiny catch. Long hours, little reward. We have worked all night and caught nothing. Oh, I know this is a glass half-empty view of the world. I know how it's going to be once we have taken back control. I know that Hosea blamed the bad behavior of the people for the state of the world. Today, we blame overfishing, climate change, the EU, whatever. Still, the folk who encountered Jesus, we've met several of them in recent weeks, each had a reason not to be cheerful. The centurion with his paralyzed servant, the Canaanite woman with her demon-tormented daughter, the rich young ruler last week with an inner emptiness that even great riches could not satisfy. And today's story of Peter encountering Jesus as he is going about his daily business, those stories take place in a sick, wasted, polluted, demonic, frustrated, empty world. A world in which there was no health care. A world of thin, unproductive soil, of unyielding seas. All through the Gospels, Jesus encounters people who are struggling to make a way through such a world. Peter speaks for them. We have worked all night and caught nothing. Let those words speak for our world as well. Oh, I know it's not all bad. I know in some places industry is thriving. I know that in lots of places life is beautiful and good. I know. But whereas in Jesus' world, as in so many human centuries since, life was nasty, poor, brutish, and short, it is not now so much. Well, it is for some, but let's not dwell on that for a moment. What it is now, well, let's use those words I've used before from W.B. Yeats. Things fall apart. It is part of our job, we who would talk about an encounter with Jesus, to call it like it is. To say, though not many will be listening, things fall apart. To say that there is an iron law at work in the world. Thriving, the succeeding, the growing, the coming together, the good things, there is a law working against them all the time. In the midst of life, we are in death, to use an old phrase. It is not natural for us to succeed. It is natural to fail. It is not inevitable that we will thrive. It is inevitable that we will shrivel and reduce. It is not given that we will build and unite and reconcile and overcome evil. It is given that we will destroy and divide and cause distress and succumb to the forces that would drag us down. Of course it is. We are human, no more nor less. And though we may dream of eternity and reach for the stars, we are limited and finite and sinful and doomed to die. No wonder Peter says we have worked all night and caught nothing. It describes how it is for us. It is where we must start whenever we want to see change, whenever we want to look forward, whenever we want to see growth. Then Peter encounters Jesus. Look, this is not an easy answer. It is not for us to pretend, as so often our religion pretends, that meeting Jesus, which means meeting often some 20th-century version of Jesus, all environmentally friendly and socially liberal and sexually neutral and politically revolutionary, it is not for us to pretend that meeting a Jesus like that is the answer to all our problems. It is not that simple. But in these stories that we have been hearing, and all through the Gospels, and on through the history of the church down the centuries, there is something mysterious and strange and counterintuitive. The centurion's servant is healed. The Canaanite woman's daughter is restored and set free from her demons. The rich young ruler's world is shaken to its core. Later, Zacchaeus is welcomed. Lots of folk are healed and restored and forgiven. Later still, Lazarus is raised from the dead. Now, unless, and I know that some do, unless you dismiss this all as fantasy, what we have are stories of ordinary human beings encountering the extraordinary, beautiful, dangerous reality of Jesus when they encountered Jesus. Someone who didn't just massage the egos of a few religious nutters, but who changed the world. Who calmed storms, multiplied loaves, healed diseases, forgave sins. In his small corner began to mend the world and sent Peter out into the deep water where they found the fish that had eluded them all through the long night. Peter was amazed. Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man, a sinner. But Jesus paid for it all with his life. The world couldn't cope. But finally, incredibly, he came back to life in the world and brought a hope that lasts forever. He reversed the law in this world, showed that it was possible in this world to bring things together, to build, to achieve, to succeed, to see abundance and fullness enough for all. The encounter with Jesus. Plenty of individuals can say how that has been for them as they have been set free. or restored or given new life. Plenty of churches and charities and organizations can show how the encounter with Jesus still guides them in their ecumenism, in their commitment to health care, to education, to overseas aid. But they all, at some point, I reckon, come to a realization that they're fruitless, frustrating, things fall apart world is as nothing before the vision of God's world. A world of plenty and growth and abundance and new life forever. And when they have realized, as I hope we will all realize in our own way, as they all have encountered Jesus, they fall on their knees in the presence, the metaphorical knees anyway, in the presence of the living God and say, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinner." And then they go. They go fishing. Fishing for men and women, presumably. For after all, as they say, there are plenty more fish in the sea.